I've been a little bit disappointed so far. I was really looking for hallelujah breakdown time around here and folks to fill the altars of seeking God, and we haven't really seen what we was hoping to see. But it's been good. I felt the Lord every night. Amen. And maybe it's just not God's time to move that direction yet. Thank the Lord. I appreciate what the Lord is doing. Glad I know Him. Thank the Lord. We have another wonderful feast again today. I tell you, you folks are feeding us too good. We're short-winded. Hallelujah. We do appreciate each one of you and appreciate the hospitality, really, and all you've done for us, the offerings, everything that you've done. And we just appreciate getting to be here with you. It's been a number of years since we had been here. In fact, I was a single man, I guess, when I was here before. Yeah. Ladies Rock back here and all. Let's read a verse in Zechariah chapter 1. Verse 14 said, "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I'm jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. I'm very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction." And they helped forward the affliction. But have a thought tonight. I'd like to ask us a question. What are we doing to ourselves?
Reach, Brother Gerald.
Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse 19. "Behold the voice of the cry from the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I'm black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?"
Yes.
What are we doing to ourselves? If you pardon me for referring to personal experience tonight, I don't really like to do that a whole lot.
Come on.
But I did something to myself.
Come on, Jerry.
When the Lord called my first wife home, I kind of felt I really didn't have a whole lot to live for, and I pushed myself 16, 18, 20 hours a day. Couldn't sleep anyway, so why even bother to try? Just push a little farther and work a little more and work a little harder. 10, 12 hours on the job, go visit the hospital, make whatever calls I need to make, however I can fit them in, and take care of the church, study, pray, go out and work through the night. Had a house started, and I'd just go out and work on it the rest of the night sometimes, and snatch an hour or two sleep and back going again. In a matter of time, I run my blood pressure so high, I was having blackout spells, fell off the scaffold, fell off the truck when I was hauling stone and different things. And finally, because to get some folks off my back and get them to shut up, I promised them I'd go get my blood pressure checked. One time I checked it, and that was not when I was pushing so hard. I was taking it fairly easy then, and there's 195 over 145 when I was taking it easy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it had been at other times. And I went on to the doctor, and I really felt like I didn't have a whole lot to try to take care of myself for. And the doctor told me, said, "You're killing yourself." I said, "Well, there ain't a whole lot to live for. I'll just get out of it and be gone." He said, "No, Gerald." He was the boy I went to school with. He said, "No, Gerald, you've been too strong and too healthy. You won't just slip out of here, but you'll wind up in a wheelchair, handicapped." I mean, he really shook me up. "You'll wind up and you'll have a hard time living with it, because somebody else will have to do for you, and you won't like that." Well, that kind of scared me, but I'd already done it to myself. Fast foods, hamburgers, french fries, something quick, come in from work, throw 3 or 4 or 5 eggs in a skillet and some bacon or sausage and cheese and make me a great big omelet, and, you know, just something quick, easy to fix. And, you know how it is when you're living by yourself and cooking for yourself. I've done it to myself. Well, about 11 and a half, 12 and a half years ago, whenever it was, I went down with a massive heart attack. I'd clogged my arteries up. I knew my family had a history, heart problems, but I didn't care. I'd done it to myself. At the time, it didn't really mean that much. At the time, I was barely existing, seemed like just surviving. And I didn't really care. And I did it to myself, even when I knew I was doing it to myself.
Come on, Gerald.
I did it to myself. Consequently, when I went down with that massive heart attack, main artery coming down the front of the heart blocked off way up at high, all the lower part of my heart, getting no blood. And I tried to get a hold of God, called some of the saints in to pray, and the Lord helped some. I couldn't have lived very long, that extreme pain that I was in to start with. And the Lord lightened the pain up, and I thought he was going to heal me. And I waited and waited and waited and waited, and it seemed like I kept coming up against. You did it to yourself.
Right.
It's hard to have faith and get above it when you know what the problem was.
That's right. You're right.
That's right.
You did it to yourself.
Sure.
You did it to yourself. You killed yourself by degrees over that 5 years.
Preach.
But you didn't care. You did it to yourself.
Yeah.
Laid there for, I don't know, I kind of lost track of time. I don't know how many days it was from the night that I went to the hospital till one morning. First time I felt the holy anointing from heaven from the time that I'd gone down with the heart attack. And real early in the morning I woke up and the Holy Ghost moved on me. Gave me a text to preach I never had preached. Tears started running out of my eyes. I was so weak they wouldn't even let me feed myself. Didn't want me to make a move at all. Just lay there. Afraid I'd blow a hole out of my heart before it had time to scarify. Before the scar tissue formed, because it was dead. All that tissue down below that blockage was dead. And they afraid I'd blow. Well, I guess I almost did, because when they went in there to do the heart surgery, they found an aneurysm in the scar tissue. So I guess I just almost done it all. But the Holy Ghost moved and gave me a text. Wife came in to feed me. I couldn't feed myself. Wouldn't let me feed myself. She came in to feed me that morning. I said, "Honey, get me some paper and a pencil so I can write this down. I'm going to preach again." Hallelujah. I didn't feel like Brother Jones got to give me a text if he would let me preach it. I mean, just give me the whole outline just laying there. And I wanted to get it written down. She went and got a notebook and pencil and brought back up there. I just about filled that notebook up while I was laying there in the hospital. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I knew I'd be able to do it again, but I wound up with scar tissue.
Yeah.
Listen to me, young people. Even if you knew you'd get out and mess around and do things that's not pleasing to God, and you knew you could get back in later, it may handicap you. You may wear some scars that keep you from being able to do like you could do otherwise. Amen. I did it naturally, but a lot of you is doing it spiritually. Doing it deliberately when you know better. Doing it on purpose when you know better. Yeah, I knew better than to eat like I was eating. I knew better than to push like I was pushing, but at the time, it didn't seem to matter. And it may be right now that it don't seem to matter. If I could go back and do it again, you better believe I'd probably be a lot better shape physically than I am today. Amen. Why, the Lord sent me a registered nurse along to take care of me. But she got a hold of me too late to reverse the damage I'd already done. Life began to look better again. Brother Moore sat across the table from me during that time of my grief, and he told me one day, he said, Brother Gerald, sitting across the table, said, the flowers will bloom again for you someday. They won't bloom for you this spring, but they will. Didn't look like it's ever going to happen, but it did. Hallelujah. Didn't look like it's ever going to work, but it did. Hallelujah. God's got a way, and God's got time. It's about 5 years there, but I did it to myself. If I'd have listened to the man of God and said, the better days are coming, I better take care of myself, because I don't want to be handicapped when the time rolls around. But I failed to heed the warning. I failed to take the warning. I kept on pushing and kept on eating wrong and kept on pushing and pushing and pushing, and the stress factor built up. And I did it to myself. Consequently, I couldn't really trust and expect God to reach down and heal me and restore me when I went under with it. Why, I did it to myself. Are you listening to me? Oh, you come to the altar and pray a little now and then to try to stay in a fairly good shape spiritually, so you don't have to worry so much about dying and then go out messing God around in between times. You're doing something to yourself. When you disobey God and you rebel against God and you go the other direction, you're doing something to yourself. Amen? You're doing something to yourself. And I hope I can stop one of you. I hope I can stop one of you before you go so far that you carry the scars the rest of your life. Amen. I used to could run. I used to could put it out. I used to could just about keep up with anybody. Amen? Amen. And most folks couldn't keep up with me. But what happened? I did it to myself. Where I'd been strong, where I'd had a good set of lungs and a good strong heart, I did it to myself. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was high school. I run 2.5 miles in competition one day. Run the mile run the half mile run quarters and several of the relays. Hallelujah. The coach said, I wish they had cross country for high school. I've got a natural born cross country runner here. But I did it to myself. My running days are over. I did it to myself. Amen. I'm a living with scar tissue. My heart, the lower part of my heart's all scarred. No muscle there to pump. Why? Because I did it. I can't blame God for it. I can't blame God for it because I did it. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of folks trying to blame God for a lot of things that God didn't do. They did it to themselves when they rebelled against God, when they hardened their heart and stiffened their neck, when they turned to other things and left God out of the picture and put everything else ahead of God and everything else ahead of the will of God and the plan of God for their life. And they did it to themselves, and then they blame God because they're in the shape they're in. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad God brought me out of it in good enough shape to still do something. Amen. I can't preach like I used to preach. I run out of wind. Amen. Back in the old days when we had that old ragged tent traveling around over the country. Hallelujah. We didn't even have Bob's PA system. We didn't want to. Why? But sometimes we do things to ourselves. Sometimes we carry scars the rest of our days because we rebelled against God and didn't obey God and didn't listen to God. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself. What are you doing to yourself? God told him, said, I was a little displeased. Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. Amen? He's angry with the wicked every day. When you're rebelling against God and you're living displeasing to God and you're living a wicked life, and God's angry. But not angry to the point that he's ready to cut you off. But when God reproves you and reproves you, and he that being often reproved and hardened his neck, God said, I was a little bit displeased. But you helped forward the fixing.
Yeah.
You made it worse.
Yeah.
You made it worse because every time I called, you turned your back.
Right.
Every time I reached out to you, you just kind of passed it by. Every time I dealt with you, you just prayed enough to kind of get conviction off and never prayed enough to really get a hold of heaven until it turned your life around. And it wasn't no time till you was back in the same old rut again. You helped forward the affliction. You kept making it worse. Romans tells us about those that treasured up wrath against the day of wrath. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God. When God called, they didn't listen. When He called to them, they refused. And directly they started storing up wrath. They kept helping forward the affliction until they stored up wrath. Like God maybe had a big dam there holding back the river. And it kept a banking up and a banking up and a banking up. And every time they rebelled against God, and every time they turned their back on God, and every time they went the other direction, it just got a little more and a little more and a little more till the day come when it got so bad, God said, I can't ignore this anymore.
Amen.
Amen. You say, does it work like that? That's what it sounded like. They treasured a breath. Against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will give every man according as his work shall be. What are we storing up? Are we putting treasures in heaven? Or are we helping the displeasure of God? When God's angry with the wicked, and we go right on in our wickedness, we go right on in our rebellion, we go right on in our wayward ways. Treasuring up something. What are we doing to ourselves? Treasuring up wrath or putting treasures in heaven? Amen? We're doing one or the other. We're either pleasing God, serving God the very best of our ability, and putting treasures in heaven, or if we're walking in rebellion and walking against God and fighting against God and striving with our Maker, we're a treasuring of wrath. Oh, Brother Gerald, but God's a good God. He won't send anybody to hell. You're right. You're sending yourself when you turn your back on God and your back on heaven and go your own way and do your own thing. It isn't God doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself. You're treasuring up wrath. You're treasuring up judgment. You're waiting on the day when God says, my mercy's run out. God won't cut the line on you till mercy runs out. God won't cut the line on you until mercy's gone as far as mercy's going to go. Oh, but there's a limit to how far you can go. God said back in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with a man. Amen. Oh, but Brother Gerald, don't you know? A lot of folks is getting by with a lot of things, are they? I was cracking down on a lot of the junk that was going on back when they had so many electronic church idols. A little church I was pastoring, I was cracking down on it. How some of them was living, how some of them was doing. And some of the folks came to me, Brother Gerald, I wouldn't dare say anything about it.
Yeah.
They're doing more than you are.
I've heard that.
Driving along to the pioneer work. They're reaching the masses. They're doing more than you are. That? Yeah, they were.
Sure was.
Jim and Tammy fell.
Dragged a bunch down.
And Jim went to the penitentiary. Yeah, they's doing more. I'm glad I wasn't doing what they's doing.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't being dishonest in my finances, and I wasn't doing things they're doing. I'm glad I wasn't.
Right.
No, I wasn't flying so high. They're talking tongues more than you do. Yeah, and they went to prison too. They're reaching the masses. Yeah, fleecing them out of their money too.
Yeah.
Promising them things they'd never produced.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Jenny Swaggart, he's reaching more people than you are.
Uh-huh.
He's doing more than you are.
He sure was. I'm glad I wasn't doing some things he got to doing.
One of the biggest reproaches
on the cause of God.
Double barrel.
Every hit. Amen.
Right,
amen. I have thoughts when some of the idols went down. He was talking about having idols and having somebody to pattern by. I thought when the pattern went under, Brother Jones, a lot of folks would turn back to wholeness.
Right. Yeah.
But it didn't seem to work that way. It didn't seem to work that way. Oh, but they talk in tongues more than you do.
Look out.
Bible didn't say by their tongue talking you'll know them.
No.
Come on.
Oh,
but they seem to be so spiritual. And they can dress like they want to dress and do like they want to do. I mean, and grace covers it all and love, love, love. It's a funny thing to me about the sloppy agape folks. They've got love for everybody except wholeness folks.
Right. You're telling it right.
Come on.
I hate the wholeness.
Biggest persecution we get usually comes from those that used to have what we've got and went away from it. Lost men and women out in the world appreciate knowing that God's real and God's able to save to the uttermost them that come to Him, turn their lives around, straighten them up, and make them live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. If it was real grace they's talking about, they'd know what the Bible said about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them all men the same thing. God don't have one standard for the charismatics, another standard for the holiness. Teaching all men, appear to all men, teaching all men the same thing.
Yes.
Amen. Grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to everybody. Teaches them all the same thing, that they ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Right.
Yes, sir. Oh, but they've got the works of following them. What kind of works have they got following them? Some of them seem to be doing some things. But I read about some folks that's going to stand at God's judgment and say, we've cast out devils in your name. We've healed the sick in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. But I read where he said, I'll profess to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. They did it to themselves. They did it to themselves. They knew enough about it to know that it was His name that had the power. They knew enough about it to know that they are supposed to be casting out devils. They knew enough about it to know they are supposed to be able to heal the sick. They knew enough about it to know what they are supposed to do, but they wasn't paying the price and living the life. And He'll say, depart from me, and they'll not have any comeback because they did it to themselves. Not by how much they talk in tongues or how much they prophesy or how much they interpret, but the Bible said by their fruits. What kind of fruits is in their life? Amen. By the fruits you'll know them. By the fruits you'll know them, not by their tongue talking. And I believe in speaking in tongues 100%. Amen. I believe it's initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead. He's God in the Holy Ghost. I believe that He's God's agent on this world right now to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. I believe that Jesus had a reason when He said not to grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen. When He said you can sin against the Father and you can speak against the Son, but if you say one word against the Holy Ghost, why? Because He's God's agent that brings us to God, that draws us to God. We can't come to God except the Spirit draws us. And if we defile that Holy agent, turn him away and grieve him and sin against him.
Right.
There's no other link to ever bring us to God, Brother Coffey. Hallelujah. We're cut loose.
Whoa.
We're cut off.
Right.
That's the reason you need to be careful about doing this part to the Spirit of grace. That's the reason you need to be careful about taking the things of God too lightly. That's the reason you need to be careful about trying to play both ends against the middle and have the best that's out there in the world, you think, and still have the best that God's got to. It don't work that way. Jesus said you can't love two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other. You'll cling to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve this world and serve God all at the same time. No, you can't. It'll tear you apart. You can't do it. It's impossible. Never has been. Never will be.
Come on.
And when it's right, you're doing it to yourself.
Right. Right.
Amen. It's not God's will for any to perish.
None.
Jesus came that the whole world might be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. But what condemns you is your own actions and your own life when you rebel against God and you go your own way and do your own thing instead of giving it all to God 100% and letting him make a new creature out of you. What are you going to tell God when you stand at judgment? When you've done it to yourself. What are you going to tell God when you've turned your back on him and walked the other way in spite of all God's done to try to bring you in? What are you going to tell God when God's reached out for you time and time again and you hardened your heart and stiffened your neck and went the other way? That man that showed up at the wedding without the wedding garment. They tell me the Orientals in those days not only sent you the invitation to the wedding, but they sent you the wedding clothes to wear when you came. They provided it all. They done it all. Consequently, there was no excuse for this fellow to show up without it, because they sent it to him. Amen. He just didn't bother to get ready. He just didn't bother to wear it. And literally, that's what the Lord's done for us. Jesus died to save us. Hallelujah. He'll sanctify us. We can go without the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And be sanctified and set apart from the world. Amen. He cleanses our vessel. He purges it. He fixes it. And he fills it with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There was no excuse for the foolish virgins not to have that extra vessel full of oil. It was available to them. Amen. It hadn't been available to them, I don't think they'd have told them, go buy for yourself. You can get it if you want it. You can have it if you want it. It's available. You've got the means to get it with. Go get it. They did it to themselves. They did it to themselves, that man that showed up at the wedding without the wedding garment and got thrown out into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing. He did it to himself. He was invited. He was a friend. In fact, the master called him friend. Friend, how camest thou hither without the wedding garment? Friend. Oh, but I thought because I was a friend I'd get in. Why, I've been good to the church and I've been good to the pastor and I've given the offerings and I've done this and I've done... I've been a friend. The pastor ain't had no better friend than me.
Yeah.
Church ain't had no better friend than me. Oh, that was wonderful and great. And I'm glad you're a friend. But you knew the requirement was to get ready.
Ready.
You knew the requirement was a robe of righteousness. And you wouldn't live righteous.
Come on.
You knew the requirement was a robe of righteousness. And you wasn't willing to live right. You want to live like you want to live.
Right.
Tell your little dirty jokes.
Right.
Read your little nasty stories.
Yeah.
Do your little thing.
Your
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Some things don't become righteousness.
That's right.
Some things don't become wholeness.
Right.
Some things God has to set us free from, and some things we can cleanse ourselves from.
Right.
We can cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit in order that we might perfect holiness in the sight of God. The Bible tells us to. Some of these little things we could cleanse ourselves from if we would. Amen. Oh, the Lord ever convicts me and ever takes it away from me. All that. No. Some things God don't have to convince you. It's already in the book. Some things you know is not righteous. Some things you know is not holy. I read in Revelations where the cry went out, behold, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Let us be glad and rejoice. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife hath made herself ready. And it was granted to her. She should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know what the wedding garment is? Our righteousness.
Yes, sir.
And not our self-righteousness, because it's like filthy rags.
Yeah.
Not our own righteousness, but His righteousness clothing us. Because we've come to Him, because we've surrendered to Him, because we give 100% to Him, because we've held back nothing from Him, because we've let Him clothe us with His righteousness, with His glory, with garments of salvation and garments of praise. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank the Lord. And if we don't have it when we get there, we've got nobody else to blame. The Lord's tried to help us. Jesus beheld the city of Jerusalem last time He was coming in toward Jerusalem to die on the cross, and He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen doth her chickens under her wings, but you would not." Some of the saddest words. But you would not. How many times Jesus wept because they turned Him away. How many times He'd come by. How many times He'd walk through the streets healing sick, casting out devils, trying to help everybody that let Him. But some of them wouldn't let Him. How many lives had He changed? And how many more could have been changed if they'd let Him? But they wouldn't let Him. Oh, Jerusalem, how many times, how oft, you folks here at the Highway Wholeness are specially blessed. You've heard some of the greatest preachers of our time. I feel every night when I get up here, I feel so weak and so small when I think about the great men that's graced your pulpit. The great men of God that's ministered behind this sacred desk, and I feel so unworthy. But I'd like to warn you, how much good preaching have you heard? How many times has God come by? You've heard some of the best. You've heard some of the greatest. Would the Lord look at you, all tears run down His face, and say, "Oh, how often would I have gathered you together? Children, how often would I have gathered you in like a hen does her chickens under wings? But you would not. You did it to yourself. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't pay attention. Yeah, you prayed once in a while, but you didn't really pray through. You didn't really give it all. You didn't really put it all on the altar. You didn't really get a hold. You didn't really get changed. Had the best opportunity. Heard the greatest preachers. Heard the greatest men of God. Said under the sound of the voice of some of the greatest men that God had on the field in your day and your age. And still rejected and turned away. He said, "The day is coming when you'd like to see that one of the days of the Lord again. The day is coming when your house will be left desolate." Went on to tell them all the destruction was going to happen. And it's all because you would not. You did it to yourself. What are we doing to ourselves? Backslider, what are you doing to yourself? Lukewarm Christian, what are you doing to yourself? Jesus said, "I would you as hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out." When God looks at us, does it? And I hate to sound too plain, but when God looks at us, does it make Him want to puke? Because we're in and out and up and down and back and forth. Can't get a hold like we need to get a hold. Because we won't get a hold like we need to get a hold.
Right. Yes, sir. Won't give it up.
Straddle the fence. Reproach to God because we're not living right. And reproach to the world because they know we know how we ought to be living. And we ain't doing it. And they can't have confidence in us because of what they see out of us. And God can't have confidence in us because what He sees out of us. Are we doing it to ourselves? When we could give God all of it. We could fall in an altar prayer and say, Lord, here it is. I want to have on the wedding garment. I want to be ready. I know that Christ died for me. I know that he loved the church. And he washed it with washing and water by the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Lord, I want to be a part of that glorious church. And I want you to do what I need done in my life. I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know why God put it on me to preach like this tonight. This is all I can get a hold of. What are we doing to ourselves? What are you doing to yourself? You're going to wear scars the rest of your life. You're going to go on without God and maybe split eternity wide open without God, without hope, and go to devil's hell, weep and wail, and gnash your teeth and burn fire forever and ever because you won't listen. What are you doing to yourself, Father, again tonight? Would you please pass by this congregation?
Somebody tonight. Then you tell me. Somebody tonight needs to see you. Somebody needs to pray. God's going to be good to themselves tonight. Help them to wake up before it's too late. Help them to realize before it's too late. Help them to open their eyes and see where they are. Where you need to be with God. Get lukewarm. Don't wait till God spews you out, but let's get on fire for God. Let's go all the way. Let's go 100%. Come on, come on, come on quickly. Let me say, let's come and pray.